إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in Surah Al-Hud said the following. And this is Hud alayhi salam who his people asked him about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about difficulties that they were having and so on. And Hud alayhi salam gave to them the following advice, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, where he said, وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيَزِدُكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ وَلَا تَتَوَلَّوْا مُجْرِمِينَ. Which means, O my people, seek forgiveness, ask forgiveness of your Rabb, and then turn towards Him. استغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه. And what will happen if you do that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send you abundant rain from the sky and will add strength to your strength. So do not turn away as mujrimun, as criminals. I remind myself and you that the issue of istighfar wa tawbah, the issue of seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the root of all goodness. Any change to begin has to begin from one point, and that point is to realize the need for change. Until we realize the need for change, change cannot happen. If I don't think that I need to change anything, then I can have the best advisors in the world and so on and so forth. My business is my business consulting part of my life. I specialize in advising family businesses in terms of succession planning, in terms of making their operations more efficient and effective, and employee motivation and various things. And the biggest challenge for me, especially with succession planning, is to help them to understand that they need to do it. Once that is done, rest of it is easy. I mean, I can sit and in my sleep I can tell you what is to be done, but it will never happen unless you feel the need for it. And this applies across the world, whether it is for businesses, whether it is for individuals. Change cannot happen unless and until the person himself or herself feels the need for change. And that is why we're talking about tawbah in this context, to say that if you are serious about your life, then reflect on your life, think about your life, and ask yourself this question and say, what is it in my life that I need to change? So that is the first part, which is to reflect. The second part of it is, therefore, now that I have reflected on my life and I realize that my life is really, there's a lot to change in my life. I've been doing things which I should not be doing, or I have not been doing things that I have been doing that I should be doing, then I must take steps to change that. And the first step of realization that I am wrong is to make amends for that. The making amends is in two parts. First part of making amends is internal, which is to feel the regret, to feel the sense of feeling ashamed. My God, how could I have done such a thing? This is very, very important. So the first part is internal, that I am genuinely sorry that I have done such a thing. The second part is external, in the sense of I must now apologize to and make amends to the person that I wronged. Now, in the case of huququllah, in the case of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is our duty to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not a question of doing something for Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa samad, Allah does not need anything from us. But it is to genuinely be sorry and apologize to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I've been doing these things I should not have been doing. Oh Allah, forgive me. Seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istaghfiru rabbakum thumma tubu ilayh. So istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Along with that, with hukukul ibad, with the rights of people, we need to do the same with the people. Who have you wronged? Inner circle, your own family, your parents, your children, your husband, your wife, and so on. And then bigger circle, employees, employers, people of the country, and so on and so forth. Whoever we wronged, in whichever way we wronged. No matter how small, and it's not a question of, you know, I mean, the parents saying, well, you know, after all, they are children. No, the children have rights. Islam is the name of establishment of justice. And justice is the name of giving people their rights. Everybody has a right. Animals have their rights. Birds have their rights. Environment has its rights. Animate and inanimate things have their rights. Right? People obviously have their rights. So giving the right to the individual, to the person, this is the essence of Islam. So alhamdulillah, we must give the rights to them. Whatever we wronged, whatever we didn't, I'm not saying necessarily that if you wrong somebody, then you are some kind of criminal or something. No, this happens. This is, we are human, so you know, we make mistakes. But definitely, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of the sinners are the ones who seek forgiveness. Right? So that's the reason why we need to seek forgiveness. And then, ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Then turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is to say, I am sorry. And then to make changes which will prevent me from doing that wrong thing again. Because it doesn't make sense. You know, I do something wrong, I say, oh, I'm very sorry, then I do the same thing again. I say, I'm very sorry, I do the same thing again. You say, what is this? It's like some kind of a game that you're playing. And you say, oh, sorry. You're really not sorry, because if you were actually sorry, then how come you do the same thing again and again and again? So you are really lying. You are, you know, cheating yourself, you're cheating other people. So if you're sorry, then we need to make changes in our own life. And for that, it is very important to do that in a structured manner. Yesterday, I gave you the last slide of yesterday's presentation was on terms of change. What is the change you want to make? What is the enabler for this change? And what is the inhibitor for this change? I want to make this change. For example, I do not get up for Fajr. I oversleep. So this is something which is very bad. I'm leaving a Fard Salah. I'm not even going into the aspect of the hukum for this. Leave that aside. Irrespective of that, it's a very, very bad thing to do. So therefore, change, pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid. If you are a man, definitely that's part of prayer is to pray in Jama'ah. So pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid. Enabler, what will help me to do this? So make a list of that. What is it that will help me to do that? And then inhibitor, what is it that will prevent me or is likely to prevent me from doing that? So enabler, for example, is sleep early. For a lot of us today, sleeping early is a major issue. Not because we are engaged in some earth-shaking, life-changing, you know, exercises. It's just mindless browsing on the net or just sitting in front of Facebook or something. So sleep early. Inhibitor is all the other stuff that comes in. That's last minute messages that come on WhatsApp and so on and so forth. So then what must you do? Shut your phone down 1 hour before you're going to bed. In any case, it's a great thing to do. Staring at these screens close to your bedtime is bad for your sleep in any case. So it's a good thing to do. But you are doing now this with the intention that, oh Allah, I'm doing this. Please enable me to wake up for tahajjud. Because if I'm waking up for tahajjud and praying tahajjud, then obviously, inshallah, my fajr is safe. So therefore, I also pray fajr. So you are making these changes. That is the tawbah. That is the turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is mentioned also in Surah An-Nuh, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nuh alayhi salam, said to the people, when those people had difficulties, I mean, they were transgressing limits, they were disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they came to Nuh alayhi salam, and Nuh alayhi salam said the same thing to them. He said, make istighfar and tawbah. Innahu kana ghaffara. Verily, your Rabb, Jalla Jalaluhu, is the one who is most forgiving. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. He said, your Rabb, Jalla Jalaluhu is most forgiving. And what will He do when you make tawbah? He will send down rain from the heavens. He will give you children. He will give you support. He will do good for your families. And He will give you gardens. And He will give you rivers. A man came to Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi and said to him, he said, I have come from such and such a land and there is famine there. There is no rain and we are having difficulties. What must I do? Hasan al-Basri said, make tawbah. He went away. After some time, another man came and he said, I have no children. I want to have children. What must I do? Hasan al-Basri said, make tawbah. Right? Make istighfar, make tawbah. The man went away. A third person came and he said to him, I am a very poor man. I am destitute. I have nothing. No wealth. Please tell me, what must I do? Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi said to him, make istighfar, make tawbah. So the people around him, his students, they said to him, Shaykh, I mean, you are giving the same answer to all these people and each person has come with a very different problem. There is famine in somebody's land and somebody has no wealth and somebody has no children, but you are giving the same solution to everybody. So Hasan Basri rahmatullahi recited these ayat of Surah An-Nur and he said, did Allah not say this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you make tawbah, this is what Allah will give you. He will give you rain, He will give you children, He will give you a good family, He will give you wealth and so on and so forth, and gardens and rivers. So the one benefit of tawbah, and clearly most important benefit, is the benefit in the akhirah. Insha'Allah al-Musta'an, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we make istighfar wal tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us and will forgive us and give us Jannah, inshallah. But the other benefit of tawbah is right here in this world, for our worldly problems. I think it's very important for us, so this is what I constantly try to do in my teaching, is to relate the theological akhirah aspects of Islam with the temporal and the present day daily life aspects of Islam. And it's not a great struggle, they are related. I'm not trying to contrive some relationship that does not exist. They are actually related. So it's good to remind ourselves about these, about this actual relationship. We will not be able to do the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly until and unless we realize that this worship solves our daily problems. And this is not my quote. This is something that Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, one of the great ulama of India, he mentioned this to somebody. He said, tumhari namaz us waqt tak sahi nahi ho sakti jab tak ke tumhe iska yaqeen na ho jaye ki is namaz se tumhare dunyavi masail hal hote. So it's a very important thing to think about, that your salah, he said, your salah will not be perfect until you convince yourself that this salah solves my worldly problems. And it does. It's not, again, as I said, he's not imagining it, I'm not imagining it. This is the actual reality. The salah does solve that. And that's why it is a wonderful thing to perfect your salah. By all means, of course, the akhirah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward. But this is something. Why is it that we have a sense of, tiredness and lack of enthusiasm with regard to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because we really don't see any benefit happening from it. Yeah, sure, in the akhirah, but I'm not dead yet. So akhirah is, our understanding, it's far away. The Prophet, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's like right next to you. When you make salamu alaykum, don't think you will be able to say salamu alaykum this side, but may Allah forgive us, we pay lip service to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but do we really believe them? Do we really have yaqeen that what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is actually true? Do we really believe this? We need to believe it. Unless we believe it, we will not act on it. And wallahi, what he said is absolutely true. So, with respect to tawbah, this is what tawbah gets us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, the most merciful of merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, mentioned about tawbah. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will convert his evil deeds into good deeds. So not only will Allah forgive him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will convert the evil deeds into good deeds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person makes tawbah, not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cancel out that deed in his record, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes it off. He causes it to be wiped off, and he even causes the recording angels to forget that deed. It is as if he never did it. You know, one is to have a list of things and it's scored out, so and in the totaling it doesn't count, it's not there, but you can still see it there. I did it, it's scored out. But the other one is the record. When you look at the record, it's absolutely clean, only good things. And you ask yourself, you know, but I did this thing then. Yes, but Allah forgave it. The beauty of tawbah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is so merciful that not only does he wipe it out, not only does he get the angels to forget it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala substitutes it with good deeds. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, once after this ayat of Surah al-Furqan was revealed, he announced to his friends, he said, I am the best of you. So they said to him, we are all trying to be, you know, get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, this is like a big time claim. Yeah, you are the best of a, how, what do you say? How do you say that? You know, what's the proof of that? And Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, before I came into Islam, I was the worst of you. He said, nobody did as many sins as I did. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now said he has converted them into good deeds. So now I am the best of you. Because I got all this. Now, I'm not encouraging you to commit sins and get them converted. The issue is that this was the ikhlas of the Sahaba, subhanAllah. I mean, such beautiful lives that they had. If you look at their ikhlas and look at how sincere they were in what they used to do. So very important for us to remember this issue of tawbah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Sometimes you might feel that, I've committed so many sins, I've done this, I've done that. And this happens to a lot of people, especially elderly people. I've seen cases where this elderly person, their 70s, their 80s, they never prayed in their lives. And you tell them to pray, they say, Abhi, kya fayda? What is the good of now? You know, I never prayed my whole life. Now, this is shaitan. This is total shaitan, because the person never prayed in their whole lives. But you are alive, you can start now. Even if you are going to die 10 minutes later, you can pray. But shaitan says, no use. You committed too many sins. You are hellfire fuel. You know, forget about this. So he puts you into despair. So what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ibadi, alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim, la taqnatu min rahmatillah, inna allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'ah. Innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Such a beautiful, incredible ayat of the Quran. First and foremost, I always remind myself, you and I also have people who are either our children or who work for us or something, who are disobedient and so on and so forth. And maybe we consider ourselves to be merciful. But if you have a choice between the disobedient person and the obedient person, this is one of my friends, he always speaks like this, and this is like a joke. There's children. Anytime the child does something good, he says to his wife, see what my son did. And anytime he does something, I see what your son did. So when he does something wrong, he becomes her son. And when he does something right, he's my son. Right? This is our tendency. This is our human tendency that, I love those who obey me, who are nice to me and so on. Oh, my friends and my this and my that. And if they don't do that, you say, he's there. But not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Ta'ala Allahu lam ta'ala. Allah, I'm not comparing Allah to anything because Allah is incomparable. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ibadi. Oh, my slaves. Who? In this ayat, when Allah is saying, Ya ibadi, is Allah talking about the Anbiya? Is he talking about the Shuhada, the Salihin? No. Alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. My slaves. Who? Those who disobeyed me. My slaves, those who disobeyed me. My slaves, those who transgressed against themselves. My slaves, those who committed sins. My slaves, those who went against what I said. Wallah. How can we ever make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My slaves. Is there a need for that Arabic grammatically? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have simply, instead of saying, Ya ibadi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply could have said, Allazeena asrafu ala anfusihim. Those who committed transgressions. Khalas, this is grammatically correct, there's nothing wrong. Allah could have said, Ya yuhannas. O people who committed transgressions against yourselves. Because the transgression is against ourselves. The disobedience, the problem of it is for us. Nobody can harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can glorify and increase the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any case. So a person who is transgressing against a hukum, a law of Allah, is actually transgressing against himself. So Allah could have addressed it like this. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Ya ibadi, O my slaves. This is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalal. How can we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allazina asrafu ala anfusihim, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalal. Never ever despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot or will not forgive. It's not my fatwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, and I am reciting the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. Inshallah, this kalam is witness that what I am saying is true, because I am only repeating what Allah has said. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. This alone was enough for this ayah. O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. This is enough. But my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu is, his shan is that he gives without counting. So he adds to that. And he says, Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives every sin. Jami'an, every sin. There is no sin that Allah does not forgive or cannot forgive. This ayat would have been complete if it had ended at this point. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah, and verily Allah forgives all sins. But my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu gives without counting. So he adds to this and he says, Innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Verily he is the one who is the most forgiving and the most merciful. His mercy never ends. Ghafurur Rahim. This is Allah. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And that is the reason why we need to seek forgiveness. Now when you seek forgiveness, please understand, it's not enough to say, oh Allah, forgive whatever I may or may not have done. No. You know what you did. Think about it. I know what I did. Let me think about it. And seek forgiveness specifically. Ya Allah, I did this at this time. I did this at this time. And then of course you and I have the right to say, oh Allah, my mind is small. I forget. Oh Allah, you do not forget. So oh Allah, please forgive me even for some things which I have forgotten now, but I am therefore I am unable to seek forgiveness for them specifically. But Ya Allah, please forgive them. This is okay, inshallah. But just to say, it's not a sign of carelessness. Oh Allah, whatever I did or did not do, forgive me. That's bad. So the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive. Please understand, my brothers and sisters, why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised tawbah wal istighfar when it is related to worldly difficulties? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he sends worldly difficulties in order to turn people towards himself. Allah said in Surah Ar-Rum, Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nasi liyuziqahum ba'da alladhi amilu la'allahum yarji'un. Allah said that the trials and tribulations and difficulties and musibah and calamities that you see on the sea and the land are the result of the deeds that come from the hands of people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends these difficulties liyuziqahum ba'da alladhi amilu, so that they get a taste of the result of such deeds. This is not the full punishment. This is just a taste. La'allahum yarjoon, so that they will turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The calamity, the musibah is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't ask for this. But this is not something for us to come. Why did God do this? God did this because you brought it on yourself. In Surah Al-Sajdah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَنُزِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah said, we give them a small punishment before a big punishment, so that they will turn towards us. It's like the child extending his hand or her hand towards the fire, and the mother taps it. She hasn't broken his hand. She didn't take a chopper and chop it off. No. So now what happened? This hurt, yes. But putting the hand in the fire would have hurt much more. You would have burnt yourself. This pain now is gone. 10 seconds later, pain is gone. But that pain would have remained for a long time. This is the meaning of that small punishment. And that is the reason why when we make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the punishment was given for you to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, punishment is removed. The difficulty is gone, alhamdulillah. Right? So tawbah al-istighfar is an absolutely critical element of bringing about change in our lives. And that's why I remind myself and you, let us try to focus on this, consciously make tawbah, consciously ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, make sure you make amends, give charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, specifically for the forgiveness of sins. I'm not talking about zakat and so on. Specifically, charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and give until it hurts. Don't give, just 10 dinar or something. No. Give it until it hurts, because believe me, the punishment of Allah will hurt much more. So give. And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu promised to forgive, and inshallah, He will forgive. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable all of us to understand what we are doing and seeing and facing. Alhamdulillah, all of you are here. Just think about this, how do you think it is possible, all of you from who have come, taken all this time off here, to be here, to reflect on the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reflect on the beauty of the life of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to seek to bring that into our lives. That's what this course is about. So we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, and that's why it must begin with this intention of doing good, of changing our lives, which is the whole point of tawbah wal istighfar. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.